Bald and Blonde. Welcome to the Mindset Evolution Podcast. The podcast to get tools for a powerful mind you can use immediately every day. Get tips, tricks, skills, and inspiration to create what you desire and achieve a content life wherever you are. And here are your hosts, Cathy Tate and Daisy Pub.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution, the podcast that gives you tools for a powerful mind. We're excited to bring you season 6. Hello, Daisy, my podcast partner. How are you?
Hello, dear Gima. That's your new title. Bald and Blonde has a Gima included now because Cathy is just a very fresh, brand new grandmother. And congratulations on that. And congratulations to Bald and Blonde that we are in season 6. Look how far we've come. I'm so excited and I'm truly, truly fulfilled internally that we're going to just co-create another season.
I am excited too. Season 6 is a huge accomplishment and thank you on the congratulations for being a grandma. It is super exciting and I thought that I'd run with that theme and today we're going to do an episode about family, Daisy.
If you say so, let's talk about family. Okay, good. And when we do that, I think it is a brilliant idea to truly start defining it first. Because there's so many misunderstandings and so many uses of the word and term family that I think it is a good idea to really go back to the roots. Where does the word come from? What does it really mean? And how we are using it or oftentimes not using it correctly? And what can we do about it?
I think that's a great place to start, Daisy. Why don't you kick us off on that line?
Okay. Family, definition, noun, who would have thought? A fundamental social group in society typically consisting of one or two parents and their children. That's the first point in the definition. The second is the children of one of these groups. And thirdly, a group of persons related by descent or marriage. Now, how many people do you know that considered their friends family? How many people do you know who don't consider their bloodlined family relatives as family, where they said, no, they're not family. They're family on paper, but no, I don't feel them as family. So you see, I think where it comes down to is the title is oftentimes chasing us to obligatorily relate to a group of people or to individuals that we would otherwise not relate to. And here comes my thought, the formula for finding true love. Behavior is all that matters, no matter how closely, no matter how distantly you're related or not.
Yeah, I agree with that, Daisy, because I actually do have friends I think of as family. They've been friends for a very long time. They've seen me through troubles and good times, and I know that I can rely on them to be there no matter what happens to me. And so to me, that is a family member. To me, that is someone I can count on, loves me and will be there for me, and I will do the same for them. I don't think that blood always has to come into it.
Yeah. So I think it is interesting that you say that there are people that you can rely on. There are people that are friendly with you. How many families have you observed distantly or from close where you see that people are not treating one another neither kindly nor respectfully nor lovingly? And only because now on paper we are related, are we really related? How can I relate to you, although I'm related to you on paper legally, but how do I relate to you and how do you relate to me? Now, I gave that a lot of thought because I grew up in a wonderful, wonderful family and I had an extended family that was not family. So in the neighborhood, the neighbor family, they were, so to say, my substitute parents. When my parents were out of town or they weren't home because they were working again way too much, then I was able to go there anytime. It was like having two homes. One was the close home and the second one was the other home. And to me, that was quite interesting that for me, that was natural. And others would say, what? You go to the neighbors? Yeah, well, they're family. Now, when I then became an orphan at 17, there was no more family. I mean, I had a grandmother who still was alive, my mother's mom, and she was old and she was grieving and she was devastated and hurt and in pain, understandably so. She was my family on paper, and she was my family in my heart as well, but our relation was not that close and warm. She was the way she was. I learned a great deal from her. She was a brilliant, very creative woman, very strong, very independent, had great dignity, and she lived with it and by that level of dignity. Nevertheless, I felt quite lonely. And then I married, and my parents-in-law were all of a sudden new family, so I thought. And I must admit, my father-in-law truly was. He was a great man, great, great man. Today, I can state that I would have been better off marrying my father-in-law because he was really the greatest human in that family by my view and how I experienced it. And then I realized, my mother-in-law is interesting. So now she's family. So she's sort of mom and she doesn't behave that way. Wow, what an illusion bursts open here. And then later on along my journey, I realized, my friends are my chosen family. That's the key, chosen. And I am the one who can determine who I choose and based on what values and characteristics I am choosing. So actually, when we say relatives, it much more describes how we relate. And again, not the bloody way, right? But how do we relate? Kathy, you and I, we can consider one another family, and we said that out loud, even in public before. We're family, and we're not related, but we're relating very much to one another. Now, what is family? And how do we handle family members who are family members that are given? Look, when I was born, the majority of relatives, especially those older than me, were already there. Not there, but on the planet. Did I have a choice? Not really, or not that I remember. And some were really cool and others were not so cool. Some were really warmly, lovingly, caringly relating to me so I could relate to them the same way. And some behaved in a way that didn't make them very likable.
Yes, I think that's probably very common, Daisy, that within a bloodline family, shall we call it, or within our blood relatives, there's often some members who you don't relate to or you aren't close to or you don't get along with. Maybe there's a personality mismatch. Maybe there are people there that are toxic. Maybe they're just traumatized and so don't know how to communicate. There's lots of reasons that it could be.
Yeah.
But I would imagine that it's fairly rare to get on with everybody, especially if you have a very big blood family, which some people do.
Yes. Well, so now when we see that and we define it and we notice that actually past centuries, family was the survival ticket. Without family, if you were thrown out of the family, there was no chance for you to survive. Now, let's compare family to tribe. Same thing. When we didn't align with the constitutions in the tribe, we were thrown away. Not like, okay, they picked us up and threw us. We were excluded, which meant death in most cases. Now, we are very, I believe, humans are very family-oriented. Why? Because when we grow, not grow up, but when we grow in mother's womb, there's a huge connection, 24/7. In a healthy case, 40 weeks long. So belonging is part of our nature. We need one another. We are not born or we are not created as a species, so I believe humbly, to live our lives as loners. One of my great teachers used to say, the world is not set up to get the best results alone. That already includes it. Together we are strong.
I think that's true. I think that a lack of connection is probably the basis for some of the mental health issues that are in our society. And I think that nowadays in modern society, as we have less tribal sort of family sort of situations, that lack of connection is more prominent than it's ever been before. If you think about 100 years ago, often generations of families all lived together. And depending on your culture, that was very normal for there to be 2, 3, or 4 generations in very close proximity every day together. And that provides a level of support and connection that is much rarer now when we see a lot more people living solo, a lot smaller families or families that are separated by distance because it is so easy to move a long way away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our family did it. We immigrated from New Zealand to Australia, and that sort of isolated my mum and my dad from their families.
Mm-hmm.
So we grew up without an extended family that we would have had we stayed in that country. And I think that that's really, really common. And we see this rise in some of these mental health issues in modern society. And I truly believe a lack of connection is the basis for some of those.
I agree with you that it adds to the loneliness spectrum and the level of how we feel abandoned or not being able to count on someone. Now, let me give you an example with an animal, because I think it is easier to relate to, and our listeners may be able to not take it personally, but see what I mean by that. Let's say you and I, we live together because we're family, let's say, and you just come home and say, look, Daisy, there was this little puppy dog and it was there on the street all by itself. And I'm going to introduce it to you because I just rescued it and here it is. And now you bring in this puppy dog. And let's say I'm allergic to dogs.
Uh-oh.
Or let's say the dog likes me very much, but I don't like it. What happens when I'd love the dog, but the dog doesn't trust me and doesn't like me? So what do we do then? Many people consider their little animals and pets as family members. That's why I brought it up. It's less personal.
Yes.
When we speak of a fluffy bundle of bark.
Well, I certainly consider my cat to be part of my family.
Yeah, you see. Now, how do we handle that when there are people intruding? Because many people feel like, oh, there's an intruder coming along. When a new family member is introduced or a going-to-be family member is introduced, let's observe behavior. It's beyond the looks. It's beyond the culture. It's beyond the geographical origin. It is all about behavior. And when we, every single one of us, improve in our reactivity and become more responsive instead of reactive, when we acquire communication skills that are peace-bringing, when we heal our inner world's wounds, the old trauma, the betrayal, the sadness, the loss, the disappointment, the dreams that were just dreams and never became true, whatever there is, when we take care of those little parts and pieces within ourselves, we can become friendlier, better humans. Less reactive because the autopilot is switched off when there's nothing pushing it anymore from the inside in the inner world. And then acquiring great communication skills, then it does no longer matter where someone came from. It does no longer matter where someone's going. The only thing that will matter is how they behave right here, right now. And that they're persistent in their behavior. Not one day they are super cool people and the next day they are just really absolutely unbearably hysterical and rude, mean, loud. So I know how it feels not having family. And there was a time in my life as a very young orphan, so shortly after I became an orphan, I so dearly wanted to be adopted. I so longed for someone coming along and picking me up, so to say, and adopt me. Over the years, I adopted myself. And there are many people now who want me to be in their family. Those are families that are very well functioning, that are respectful, that are very loving, that are consistently loving, that are just simply consistent in their behavior. It's not like these drama up and down. One day I'm the sweetie pie and the next day it's like a dragon from hell, you see. And these are things that we can work on ourselves. We can adjust. We can learn. Self-discipline is very high in value, I think. I'm not saying suppressing self-discipline and then accurately communicating, saying what I mean, meaning what I say, without raising my voice, without getting loud, without getting disrespectful, without using filler words that are noise pollution. You see, and then there will be family bonds beyond the definition of family.
Yeah, I agree with all of that, Daisy. And going back to the point of when there's a possibly a new family member coming into the mix, I think it's also important to remember to not have assumptions, to not make judgments, to not have expectations, but to just take them at face value on, like you say, on their behavior, mm-hmm. because that is at the end of the day all that matters. And we've done many episodes about all of those different things, which I think are super helpful in understanding why we shouldn't have those things about other people. But then I think that the other key point that you've said is communication. That truly is the doorway to a deeper understanding of each other. And I know that for many years, I didn't know how to communicate properly. And as a result, I didn't have very many close relationships. And I was a bit of a loner. And I kind of shut myself off from people, one, because I didn't know how to communicate and make myself feel okay being vulnerable. But as we've discussed, you're vulnerable whether you show it or not.
Yeah, that's right.
And as I learned to communicate, it became much easier to have respectful relationships with people and to nurture friendships. I think they need to be nurtured from both sides. It can't just be one person. And I've seen that a lot in my life too, where one person is trying really hard to build a relationship and to nurture it and to do the right things and to communicate properly. And then the other person isn't really playing that game. And that's, I think, somewhere where the people involved need to take that self-analysis and go, is this really working for me? Is this going to change or is it going to stay the same? Because this is my behavior, that's their behavior, and I only have control over my behavior. And I think that that sort of fits in this conversation too. Because especially when you're born into, let's say, a blood family, you have no control over who those people in that family are.
Yeah.
You have no control over how they behave. And sometimes that's why the best family are our friends, the ones that we choose, because we have chosen them based on their behavior and how they fit with us. And they're often not people born into our blood families. Certainly, I have a couple of very, very close friends here in Australia, one who I was at school with and another who I met later in life. And I think both of those women will be friends with me and I consider them my family until I die. And then I've had other friends for a long, long time, like 17-year friends who I thought were like family and who ended up doing the wrong thing by me and I had to let go of them. So you don't ever know. You can't really predict it.
Well, people change over time.
Yes, they do. That's correct. They do change over time.
And so do we.
And sometimes one person changes and the other person doesn't as well.
Yeah. Sometimes we just grow in different directions. Now, I'd like to insert here something. If I heard you correctly, what I heard you say that we choose our friends based on their behavior, I am uncertain that this is the case. We choose our friends based on what's familiar to us. And what is familiar to us stems from our inner world. And that's how I choose my friends. Example. Let's say I grew up in a family where yelling and cussing and noise pollution was a daily habit. Then I won't choose a friend who speaks so nicely, kindly, and really chooses their words carefully. But I will choose the friend who feels familiar. And if that was the yelling and the cussing and the noise pollution, then that is how I will choose my friend.
Is that not behavior? Maybe we combine them and it's familiar behavior that we choose it on.
Yeah, that I like that. Mm-hmm. Because it is behavior.
But I think you're definitely right, because we have values and standards. And at times, perhaps before we learn about that, they're not very high because of how we've been conditioned within our youth. I know that was the case for me. I didn't have very high standards. I really didn't know any better. I was just going on the past and how people had treated me. And so I allowed very low behaviour in my life. And it wasn't until I started learning about my self-value and what standards were. And then when I had my son, it became even more important because I had this other person in my life who I was responsible for, and I valued him so much that I really started to learn about these things. And that's when I started raising those standards. Certainly took a long time for me to learn to do that for myself. I certainly did it for him sooner. But the point is that until you know about them, you don't know what you don't know, right?
Yeah. So I go back, observe behavior. And one more thing. When there's a new family member or maybe new family members coming into the family, let's say a patchwork family, two adults who already have children from previous marriages or relationship, and now we're patchworking them together. Look, it is not a given that everyone will like the other, and it is not necessary to survive because respect is the key here. When the family members amongst one another can respect one another based on the expressed behavior, they don't need to like one another. But when I like you, Kathy, of course, it makes it easier. But when I can't like you, for whatever reason, I have the right to not like you. Maybe I don't like you, but something is there that just rings a bell within me and it says, no, 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 no. That happens too. I don't need to like you to accept you as a so-called extended family member. When I respect you and when you and I can respect one another based on our behavior, I can respect you based on your behavior and I can respect myself based on my behavior and you can respect me based on my behavior and you can respect yourself based on your behavior. Now, then we have a foundation where we might over time or all of a sudden start liking one another. You see.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I would also throw in there that it might be hard at times to respect other people when their behavior is not how we would like it. And that's when we need to bring our boundaries into play.
Good key. It is not about the behavior how I would like it. It is important that the behavior meets my standards. It's not about liking. Look, you may like football and I may like horseback riding. You may like soccer and I may like tennis. We can still respect one another. I don't need you to like horseback riding and tennis to be my friend. You don't need me to like football and soccer to be your friend. You see, it is when we respect one another and I'm trying to not change you because who am I to try to change you? When humans around the globe or the majority would stop trying to change someone else, oh my goodness, we wake up tomorrow in a brand new, not only society, but very different world altogether.
Yes, I think that's a really great point, Daisy. And actually, I think that that's a point we're going to leave it on with the question to our listeners. Do you have people in your life who you were trying to change? And has this episode changed your mind about that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and take an inventory. Who are the family members who you may dislike, but you can still respect them? And when you can respect them, what is it that you respect about them? Are they consistent in their behavior? Or do they have outbreaks here and there?
And where it is tough to have that respect, this is where you need to draw your boundaries and have that self-respect. And if you'd like to learn more about boundaries, we did an episode on that. You can go to baldandblonde.live, top right-hand corner of the website. There is a search box. Type it in there and you'll get the episode. In fact, you can do that for any topic you can think of. Type it in that search box. We're bound to have done an episode on it by now. But if you have any episode suggestions, we would love to hear from you. There's a contact us page or you can email us at ask at baldandblonde.live. Thank you to all our listeners all around the world, 74 countries and counting. We appreciate you, and we appreciate those of you who have supported us. And if you would like to do that, also go to our website. Very easy, support us page. You can help us from the amount of a cup of coffee, and we would love for you to do that if you are able. Any final words for our listeners today, Daisy, for the start of season 6?
Well, dear listeners, come along on the journey, season 6. I have no idea what it will consist of, but I know that one ingredient will be constant, and that is respectful interaction amongst Kathy and I. We at times disagree, and we agree to disagree, and we even enjoy disagreeing, and we enjoy agreeing as well. And I wish to inspire anyone out there to follow us along our journey, how we discover more life topics that matter every day for the majority of humans, because humanism is the future. When we strengthen that, and I stand all for that, I like to invite and inspire humans to be human again, because so many have forgotten. So come along with us, be on board. We do our weekly show, and please support us so we can continue producing. Without you, we won't be able to do so. Please continue supporting us, and we will see you next week.
Absolutely. And that has been another episode from Bold and Blonde.
Mindset Evolution. Talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening in to the Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution podcast. Please share our podcast with your family and friends. Together, we make this world a better place. For you, for us, for future generations. Visit us at baldandblonde.live to get freebies, give feedback, and even support us with as little as $1. Talk to you soon.